On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, it's official. Stranger Things is coming to Halloween Horror Nights.
An endless summer resort, that is, coming to Universal soon. All this and more, Thrill Geek Podcast, now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We got an interesting schedule going on this week. We're recording kind of late, but this one will be, I think we're going to kind of go with this recording on Fridays and posting on Mondays thing. And see how that works for a little while, just so we can get a set date down. And I'm a little bit more flexible on the weekends. So I think the, posting on Monday things will work better for me as far as my schedule goes. So anyways, we got a couple things to talk about, and then we're going to kind of mishmash the end of this podcast together with some odds and ends. But the two big things are coming from Universal this week. Stranger Things announced for Halloween Horror Nights officially, after probably one of the worst kept secret rumors, whatever you want to call it, since last year's ended. Stranger Things has been rumored for a while. Like I said, ever since 27 ended, the rumors of Stranger Things and it pretty much started immediately.
Yep.
So, but we finally got the announcement. It'll be a house. It'll be based on the first season of Stranger Things. Not a mix of the first and second. Just this house is strictly going to be the first season of Stranger Things, which I have some personal opinions on, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Barry, what do you think about Stranger Things coming to Halloween Horror Nights?
I mean, it's a huge get. I mean, it's something that I think a lot of people have wanted for a while now. Even though it's not true horror, it's not gory horror. It's more of, I almost say, like supernatural thriller, or I mean, you get a sense of dread in Stranger Things, especially the first season. But yeah. It's not really scary. But I think, you know, I mean, as far as like doing a house, to me, it's all about capturing the feel of the show, and especially of season one. If they capture the feel of the show, then the scares are just going to be like the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. It's, you know, I mean,
yeah.
They're going to have to be creative in coming up with the scares, because, I mean, you have the Demogorgon, but you can't really overuse that. You know, I mean, you can use some of the scientists in the hazmat suits. You know, I mean, you can definitely, you know, pulling off the, at some point you're going to have to cross over into the Upside Down, and pulling that off is not going to be easy. I mean, it's,
no, just the whole atmosphere that the Upside Down evokes, with the, you know, almost like it's snowing out, with the kind of ashy kind of atmosphere, and you've got the red lightning, and the Upside Down is not going to be an easy thing to reproduce. So I think it was actually my good friend Mark Kleinhens from Orlando Informer. He threw together an article that I read through, and he actually pointed out some really good things about good ways that they can actually pull off a Stranger Things house. Because, like I said earlier, when it got closer to the official announcement that Stranger Things was coming to Halloween Horror Nights, the more and more I thought about how they could turn season one into a haunted house. And I was just like you said, it's not scary. There's a lot of suspense in season one, but the scare factor is just not there. But I think it's going to fall on, again, like you said, I think it's going to fall into how well they can recreate the atmosphere of the first season. If they can pull that off, then I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to me, a lot of the scares are going to have to be, you know, redirection scares, because, I mean, we already know you're going to go through the living room, you know, I'm sure the letter lights will be up, and I'm sure they'll have a scare actor playing Joyce, who will be the distraction, you know, yeah, to whatever the scare is. I mean, it's going to be, like I said, at some point there, you're going to cross over into the Upside Down, which, you know, was in the first season. I don't know how they're going to do 11. I mean, it's interesting, because I don't know how you are going to, pull off really any of the kids. I mean, it's just,
that was the other thing I was thinking about too, is how are they going to pull off any of the main characters, all the kids?
Yeah, I mean, obviously any of the adults, that's easy. But the kids, I mean, you're going to have to find every actor that is, every scare actor in the area who is less than, you know, basically 4'10" and skinny, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many entertainment people, females, are chomping at the bit to shave their head to play 11.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you know, based on, you know, the past couple of years, there are definitely some short girls, female scare actors out there. I mean, we've seen plenty of them.
Yeah.
But the guys, that's going to be that's going to be the harder, and you may have to have some girls playing the boys to pull it off. So it'll be interesting to see how much of the kids will be in it, or if the conceit, the story of the house will be your sort of like from doing everything from their point of view.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and you're walking through the story, the first season.
And it's going to be a little bit easier for them to, pull off, pull off something like Barb, you know, or Nancy.
You know, her character is going to be popular if they have a Barb in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit easier for them to pull off Barb and Nancy and Jonathan by, you know, Will's older brother. You know, I'm going blank on what's his face.
Who?
God, why am I going? Oh, Steve.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit easier to pull off them, than it will be any of the kids. So, you know, I mean, it's like I said, it's all about capturing the feel of the show. And then, which to me is going to be the hardest part.
Yeah. They have, I pretty much covered everything here so far. It'll be a Maze season one storyline. It'll actually be a collaboration between Universal and Netflix. So Netflix is going to be pretty involved with the show. And I'm guessing the producers, directors of the show as well are going to be involved.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely to me. I feel for the team that's doing this, because I don't know if there's ever been a house that will be as hyped in advance than this one. You know, I mean, we can look back to when The Walking Dead first made its appearance, but even since that time, the fandom and the popularity of Halloween Horror Nights has gone through the roof.
Yeah. And Stranger Things is going to bring in a whole another demographic to this event. There's a big demographic that watches Stranger Things that, you know, that age group would never consider going to Halloween Horror Nights. Or not age group, I should say, but, you know what I'm saying? That, the core audience of Stranger Things.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting. I may already see if we see an uptick of like 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds showing up at Halloween Horror Nights this year.
That's what I'm saying. And the event's rated PG-13.
Yeah.
So
that's our first official, you know, Halloween Horror Nights announcement. I mean, we talked some rumors last time, you know, and I think some more rumors have sort of come out. You know, the heat on It has sort of falling off a little bit, because some people are saying now that maybe it's not going to happen this year, partially because, you know, truckload of money did Universal have to back up to Netflix to get Stranger Things?
Yeah, I don't see two blockbuster IPs like that. I don't see Universal using both of those.
I mean, to me, it would be awesome because that would help spread out the crowds.
Yeah.
But who knows? They could shock us all and It could still be coming. As far as original stuff, and I don't know if we're talking Scare Zone or maybe A House this time. I've heard that, you know, a couple years ago we had Vamp 55, the Scare Zone on Hollywood Boulevard, and there's rumor that the Vamps are coming back, but it'll be a different decade.
It'll be like 90s instead of...
90s, I've heard 80s, and then I can't say whether this is going to be House or Scare Zone.
There were a lot of people saying that they wanted a House because they liked the Vamp 55 Scare Zone so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff, you know, there's original concepts throughout the years. You know, some of it has bounced from House
to Scare Zone. And the other way around.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see, you know, will this year be four completely original houses? Will we see something from the past return? I mean, you never know, because, you know, the other rumor, we know we're getting nine houses, but, you know, I've also heard, you know, we may be getting five original houses instead of
the usual four. Yeah.
Yeah. Due to the fact, you know, of probably how much they had to pay for Stranger Things.
Yeah.
We could get surprised because we know, you know, there's another Purge movie coming out. So it's like, do we get another Purge house?
Yeah. The first,
I can't imagine it's going to be a Scare Zone. They would do Scare Zone again. So, I mean, that's obviously a Universal production. So
there's a lot of Blumhouse chatter on Twitter and what have you about, Blumhouse coming back.
Yeah. I mean, cause they didn't do, we didn't get Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big hit. So, you know, we could end up with a house based on that. We've talked about before that, you know, there's allegedly going to be a new Halloween house, you know, based on the new movie, a classic Nightmare Before Elm Street house.
Yeah.
Which, like I said before, I think we've never gotten a classic Nightmare on Elm Street house. It's always been it was Freddy versus Jason, or it was some original concept, but I don't think we've ever gotten a full blown,
like, based on the original movie,
based on the original movie house.
I don't think so. As far back as I can remember.
Because that seems to be what they've gone back to. Cause like when they first, you know, they did the Halloween house, they did Halloween, the first Halloween movie, and then the second Halloween movie. Nightmare on Elm Street Dreamwalkers, I believe, was the first one. That was back in 2007.
Yeah.
And then I think the other one was Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
I think there was a Scare Zone in Hollywood, I think.
A Freddy Scare Zone?
Yeah. I mean, there was the Terror Tram.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've only gotten the Dreamwalkers one and then the Freddy versus Jason. So we have not gotten, you know, I'm sure someone's screaming at the thing going,
yeah, someone's
yeah, I think screaming. I think we've only gotten the one nightmare, and that you know, when I've talked about that one before as being one of the scariest houses I've ever experienced. So it's
real quick, these are the confirmed scenes so far in the Stranger Things house. Mirkwood, of course, the Hawkins National Laboratory, of course, the Upside Down, and then the buyer's home. That was from the official HHN Orlando Twitter feed. And of course, they plugged dates, which were also announced September 14th through November 3rd. So there you have it. Stranger Things is coming. Be prepared for one heck of a line. I can't even imagine what that line is going to be for that house. I'm trying to.
Oh, it's gonna be. It's, you know, I'm assuming it'll be on a stay in. It'll be one of the stay and scream houses, and it's gonna be one that you're gonna have to stay and scream unless you want to wait in an insane line, or you're gonna have to buy express, one or the other.
Yeah. So we got 8 more to go. And Universal started off with a bang with Stranger Things. So be prepared, folks. Moving on, again, we're keeping in the realm of Universal here. They released new details on the resort that's coming to the former Wet n' Wild site. Now has a name. It is the Surfside Inn and Suites and the Dockside Inn and Suites. So go ahead.
Yeah, and it's all part of the Endless Summer Resort. And based on some of this new stuff we've seen, it seems to me, you know, I don't think anybody has really confirmed this, but it's really looking like both hotels are going to be on the former Wet n' Wild site. And whereas before it looked like they were split between...
When you told me that the other day, I tried to go back and look at remember the first concept artwork they released?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell. Maybe you could.
Well, I thought the original planning that we saw had one hotel on one side of Universal Boulevard and then the other hotel on the other side, which may still be true. But to me, it wouldn't make sense. You've got that lake there, I mean, or pond, whatever you want to call it. You would think they would just build both resorts around that, since you've got that water, and then just use. I mean, we know a parking deck's going up right now for obviously what we're assuming is the first. Surfside's going to be the first one done. Yeah, Surfside opens next summer. So there's a parking deck going up right now. And I believe you saw that it looked like they were starting the foundation for the actual hotel.
Yeah, like I said, they were right next to where the parking garage is going up right now. There was a new structure going up, and it looked like, you know, hotel facade to me. So,
I mean, to me, it would make sense because, I mean, you've already got a parking lot across the street. You would just have to, obviously, you know, Orange County would have to approve some sort of pedestrian bridge, which, you know, Universal's already done that. I mean, it's, you know, it's on their property, but, you know, it's still, you know, public roadway. So, I mean, to me, that would make the most sense because then you don't have to worry, you don't have to deal with the whole parking thing. And to me, it would make more sense to have both hotels around that water because that would be, you know, a selling point.
Yeah.
You know, you could charge more for those rooms that are facing the water and whatever the pool area is going to be. So.
Because the other side is going to be facing a Walgreens and a KFC.
Yeah, it's going to be facing iDrive or Universal Boulevard. So.
But yeah, they also released pricing details, and this new resort is also going to include it's also going to add a new section, a new tier for their resorts called Value Resorts. So maybe they have more plans on adding. I mean, the pricing for this resort is pretty ridiculous, as in cheap ridiculous. rates will start at $73 a night for a room, and then they have family suites that'll feature two separate bedrooms, a kitchenette, a dining area, a bathroom with a separate shower and a vanity. And they said that one's going to be as little as $111 a night, which is pretty crazy for a two bedroom suite.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like they're going to go after the hotels that are around them, you know, to offer.
That's really aggressive pricing.
Yeah, that's pretty aggressive pricing. And you know, I mean, that's, I imagine, you know, this hotel will include early entry. So, I mean, early entry is something that's not that hard for them to offer. And really, you know, if they have more people coming in early entry, they can add another ride to early, you know, to early entry. I mean, the Harry Potter stuff opens early, and usually like with at studios, it's Harry Potter and Minions open earlier.
Yeah.
And I forgot what it is besides Harry Potter. Something else opens early too at Islands for early entry. But yeah, I mean, but like I said, early admission, you know, they just you know, they can always add another ride to deal with the crowds from whatever. Right now Islands Adventure, it's still just Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey that opens early. So
yeah, so excuse me.
Well, there's also early entry at Volcano Bay. I forgot about that too now. So
yeah, that's true. I completely forgot about the early entry to Volcano Bay. They could even do that.
Well, that, I mean, between that too, and they also, you know, there's days where both parks have early entry now. So, I mean, it's, you know, in busier times, it's both parks that have early park admission. It isn't just one. So
I think the, early entry to Volcano Bay makes more sense for Cabana Bay.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously right this sort of moves Cabana Bay up to whatever tier that is on. I mean, the prices at Cabana Bay have gone up obviously since it first opened. Adventure is going to be a little bit below pricing wise. It's supposed to be a little bit below Cabana Bay.
Yeah, I think Cabana Bay will be.
But I think based that you'll be able to walk at least from Adventura Bay to where the bus is, where the drop off point is for Volcano Bay, that you'll be able to walk, you'll be able to walk sort of, you won't be as close as Cabana Bay is, but you'll be able to walk to Volcano Bay from Adventura too. So
yeah, I think that's going to be possible.
Yeah, I think they set it up that way.
The walkway is over on the Cabana Bay side, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a walkway from Aventura that connects to where the buses already drop people off.
Gotcha.
So you'll be able, you'll be able to walk straight from Aventura to, you know, to Volcano Bay, which not as good as Cabana Bay. I mean, Aventura is not going to be as good as Cabana Bay, obviously. You know, it's be interesting to see, even though these new hotels are lower priced, and I think a lot of that has to do location, based on the rendering of the resort and the interior of the rooms, they definitely look nice. So
yeah, we have they release a couple new images of the rooms themselves. We have them up on the website. You can go check them out. The rooms actually look pretty nice for as cheap as these rooms are, as Universal's saying they're going to be.
And it'll be interesting too if they, you know, yeah, you see a couple little sailboats in the rendering. It'll be interesting if they do use the lake for some
sort of rental or something.
Yeah, for like maybe little boats or something like that that you can take out.
Amphibious cars like Disney Springs.
So far, I mean, we've seen that, you know, there was always the room, there's been the rumor, but they haven't said anything that, you know, there's going to be its own little, there's going to be like a mini city walk there too, but that so far doesn't seem to be the case. At least they haven't announced anything.
Yeah.
You know, obviously these hotels and stuff will have to have you know, a bunch of restaurants and stuff and entertainment, I would think, to
Yeah, they didn't announce anything about any kind of attached shopping or dining venue. So yeah. maybe we'll get more details on that later on, if any at all. With this being such a cheap resort, they may not do it with this one.
Yeah. But so, moving on, we finally got looks like some pictures from Fast and Furious Supercharged that gives us a look at the queue for the ride, which we still don't have an opening date for.
Yeah, everybody's getting antsy for an opening date for Fast and Furious. Even the people that aren't excited about this ride are like, when's it opening? When's it opening?
I mean, we know it's been testing. We know there's been people who've ridden the attraction. So
I was yesterday during my little when I showed up at Universal and did my little live stream on Facebook. I was in the Fast and Furious gift shop, and probably about 6 or 7 team members that looked, I don't know what the costumes for Fast and Furious Supercharged looked like, but they looked like they worked on the ride.
Was it douchey looking? Were they dressed like douchebags? Because that's what the costume, at least the renderings of the costume, looked like.
They had like black hats on. It was all black. But they looked like ride ops for the ride. They just looked like it. And there was at least 6 or 7 of them, because you know how they got the black curtain up there, so you can't like look up the exit of the ride.
Yeah.
But at least like 6 or 7 of them came walking down into the gift shop. So there's stuff going on in there. They're just, I guess it's just not ready yet. Which, you know, it's the same ride. It's going to be the same ride system as Kong, the trackless ride vehicle. Driverless, trackless. So surely it's going to have issues. Kong had issues. So I think it's just them working out all the kinks and getting this thing 100%. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're a week or two away from, you know, something happening.
Yeah. I mean, basically, Universal calls them technical rehearsals. It could happen at any moment. It's
the walls are still up, by the way.
Yeah, the walls are still up, but the walls can come down overnight. I mean, we'll just wait and see. And it's just, they've been very mum, and it's very interesting. We still don't have an opening date. So
yeah, like I said, I think they're just waiting to get all the kinks worked out, and you know, it's the same stuff with all these new rides. They got to get all the kinks worked out, and then they'll fire off an opening date, and things will get rocking.
I mean, it's got to be, you know, it's a combination of that, and I'm assuming they're going to have some of the cast from Fast and the Furious come out to this. So you know, you also have to nail down dates with those people too. So you know,
I would imagine they're going to, because this isn't like the tram version at Universal Studios Hollywood. This is going to be a completely different, more involved attraction than the tram experience at Hollywood. So
yeah, so I mean,
surely there's going to be some celebrities.
No, involved. You know, if anything, we've noticed with the way they open rides now, they pull out all the stops. So you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's a lot of people from the cast there. You know, a crew from the Today Show will probably be there. You know, I mean, Universal really pulls out the stops now when they open an attraction. So,
yeah. So we have all those pictures up on thrillgeek.com of they got some really cool pictures of inside the queue line, all the cars, some of the pre-show areas. But we don't have any pictures from the actual ride yet. So and, hopefully we'll hear more here soon.
Speaking of Universal, one last thing. You finally got to experience Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I fail as a theme park blogger. I should retire. Yeah, like I said, I went to Universal yesterday, walked around for a few hours because I hadn't been in a couple months. Just life in general, kids, work. So I got there yesterday, kind of late afternoon, and I did a live stream on our Facebook page, and just kind of checked out some of the happenings going on at Universal Studios. And I got on, we got to get on a Mardi Gras float, and you were able to at the last minute too. So unfortunately we weren't able to get on the same float as a lot of people saw.
Yeah. I mean, it was a rare day where, they were completely full.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen that often, but it is a busy time of year. So yeah, we were on separate floats. I was on, you were on the Gator float. I was on,
I was literally on the ass end of the Gator.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You,
I was as far back. I was literally besides the, it's like the accessibility cart that they use for the wheelchairs and stuff.
Yeah.
The one that's like remote controlled. That was pretty much all that was behind me. And the people that carry the, you know, the thing to block people, but I was pretty much the last person on the Gator float, which was kind of cool because I could throw beads off the back of the float and then I could throw them off. You know, I kind of had a whole corner to work with, which was really cool and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was on Serpentarius, one of the new floats for this year. It was my first time on that one. So it's always, we've had this discussion many times. It's always fun throwing beads. You know, it's especially whenever you see some kid who's got none, even though you got to watch for the ones who will like catch them and then hand them to their parents and then go back to looking sad eyed.
I saw a kid. He had his pile of beads back behind his feet. Mm-hmm. Like he had his legs closed together and his feet together. So you couldn't see his pile of beads behind him. And he was like putting on this whole pitiful face, like, I have no beads. Please throw me beads. And I threw him some. And then I saw his stash and I was like, oh, you sneaky little.
Yeah. I mean, you start once you do this enough each season, it's like you start noticing the ones who are hiding and then you can tell you start to be able to tell the ones who truly haven't caught a set of beads and just want one. And it's always fun when you can throw it and get it right in their hands, unless some stupid adult steals it away from them. I mean, I purposely try not to throw to adults. Cause it's like, it's, you know, I'm trying to, I like trying to get the kids who are on their dad's shoulders who are like, you know, about six or seven people deep. So it's like trying to get it to them. You know, it's my favorite thing to do. It's like you said, you know, it's much more fun riding the float than it is watching the parade. So,
yeah, always a fun time. That'll probably be my first and last trip to Mardi Gras this year, which was totally worth it. I had a blast as usual. And it was pretty busy it was a Friday night. So, we're still kind of in spring. Was it? Yeah, Thursday. Today's Friday.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's been busier this week than it was last week. The parks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen all. I haven't, you know, braved any of the Disney parks this week, and I'm one who normally, you know, doesn't matter when it is. I mean, I was there Christmas night this year at the Magic Kingdom. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm the one who braves New Year's Eve at Disney. So,
yeah, the spring break crowds are still lingering. They haven't begun to thin out, and I don't know when they will.
I don't think I've never seen. I mean, it's been crazy busy. And like even I posted the other night, like 10:45, there was at Magic Kingdom. There were still like six attractions with an hour wait.
I mean, I forgot one of my friends posted the attendance from today and I can't remember what it was, but it was 70,000, something like that. 70, just insane numbers at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh no, it's insane. And that's
76,000. I just looked it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's
today's forecast for Magic Kingdom was 76,000 people.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's ridiculous. So anyways, anything else we wanted to chat about? We want to cut this one short.
No, I mean, pop culture wise, you know, our wrapped up season 2 of Jessica Jones, Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix. I really liked it. It's completely different than the first season. It's more about her dealing with everything that's happened to her in the past and how she was created and things from the past coming back. And her finally dealing with all that, and it ends in her in a different place, which sort of gets her more to the comic book version of hers, of Jessica Jones, where she's a lot more stable and,
yeah,
but I really liked it. You know, we just started season 2 of, a series of unfortunate events, which, I mean, I love the first season of that. You know, Neil Patrick Harris is awesome as Count Olaf.
Yeah, and I've seen that on Facebook a few times. Some of my friends have watched it, and it's kind of piqued my interest. I'm kind of curious to watch it.
Oh, it's great because it's I liked the movie one with Jim Carrey. I know it didn't do as well, but you know, I really liked it. You know, we will see. I've gotten halfway through season 2 and it's been really good so far, and looking forward to hopefully finally seeing Ready Player One. We'll see. So
that's, yeah, sort of speaking
got delayed.
Of which,
I was supposed to talk about that this time, but it got delayed. So
I got I'm on the movie pass train now. I got a movie pass. So you know, me and the wife got one, so we're gonna start figuring out a system to where we can trade off on movies. Like I can go see it and then she can go see it, you know, that way when, you know, cause really right now I have 3 kids and the, only one of them, Jordan, my oldest, he's obviously old enough. He's almost 8 and he's really the only one that Connor, he could maybe sit through a movie. He's 3, but the one that we know that can sit through a movie, this way right now we'll only have to, it'll save us some money. Because we got the deal, it was like, I want to say it was like $80 for the year or something like that, which is a really good deal. So both me and her got the movie passes. So hopefully we can figure out a system to where I can get the movies quicker and she can. And so that way, when it comes to recording this thing, you know, me and you are on the same level as movies. So yeah. Anyways, I think that's it. We'll cut it short, sweet, simple this week. Unfortunately, we were gonna have a guest on, Russell Holly from VR Heads. He was at Busch Gardens Williamsburg last week and he got to experience the Battle for Air attraction, and he was a perfect fit to for me to send out there for him to check it out. And he's on the West Coast right now. And so we're going to reschedule with him and we'll have him hopefully on next week. And Barry, we'll also talk about your recent trip to the Star Wars, the Void attraction at Disney Springs. So next episode will be full of VR goodness. So I'm pretty excited to get that one recorded. And, Russell's really a cool guy to talk to, and we'll pick his brain for some VR stuff and theme parks and hopefully have a good time. So anything else you want to throw in, Barry? You good?
Nope, that's it. Remember, follow us at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Like and follow our Facebook page, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to our channel. We are very amazed and humbled at how many people are watching our stuff on YouTube. We hope to be ramping up even more new content coming to YouTube soon.
Yeah, I mean, you've discussed several things between doing live streams and all sorts of stuff. So lots of stuff in the works. We just need to pin it down and get on it. So, but yeah, thank you everybody for your continued support on not just YouTube, but everywhere, the website, Twitter, Facebook. I really appreciate it. Barry really appreciates it. And especially here on the podcast too, this podcast last month was our best month ever. Over 800 downloads, which doesn't seem like a lot, but for only being what we started in October.
Yeah.
Right when Halloween Horror Nights was going on. So October, November, December, January, February, March, for, you know, a podcast that's been out for 6 months. That's pretty awesome to have, you know, 800 downloads in a month. So, thank you again.
We're already doing pretty good this month.
Yeah. And we haven't even posted one yet. So once this one gets going, and like I said, we get on a better schedule, we'll get on a better schedule here and, get a better routine going. So anyways, enough rambling. Thank you guys again for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.